Good morning. Today we're going to do a lesson on Gideon out of the Old Testament in Judges. And we're going to go from wimp to warrior. God does not lose. You believe that's true? There's never been a contest between Satan and God where God ever lost, but there were plenty of places where Satan lost. And we need to keep that in heart and mind. This is out of Judges chapter 6, 1 to 32, by the way. It's critically important for us to see that God is constantly active in the nations, not just the nation, all the nations. We are so segregated in our thought. We've become isolated in our view of God, and we tend to deal with things mostly in our own country. And we don't do that well doing that. As it was with Judah and Israel in the Old Testament, the Israelites were under an end time judgment. You know, there's judgments, but end time, that was in during the time of things happening. An end time judgment in the hands of Midian and the nation. And we'll see Gideon here in a bit. It's important for us to see through these experiences that God is always active in the nations. God is not the God of this nation only. We in this nation have said that we're a Christian nation. That has become one of the largest lies that we've ever told, especially in the last few years. You want to go telling people the United States is a Christian nation, you're lying to them. Now, are there Christians in this nation? Are there Christians in Iraq? Do you know that there's more of them than there is of you? Just so we get things in balance. We've been so blinded by such... We have more in this nation than most nations have. More freedom, more things, less pushing you down into nothingness like the other nations do. It's critically important for us to see and understand that God is constantly active in the nations, all of them. Most nations who care about God believe Him to be the God of their nation above all others. Think that's probably true? Israel believes that they are the chosen of God. Do you know that's true? Iraq believes they are the chosen of God. Iran disputes that with them and believes they are the chosen of God. Who is the chosen? The United States. Well, we believe we're the chosen and we're a Christian nation. Have you watched the news lately? Have you seen what's going on in the world? Christian nation, you think? And we think we're the chosen of God above everybody else. God had a chosen nation, and that nation of Israel, but their unrepentant wickedness caused God to get a divorce. You know, when you talk about, you get in churches somewhere and somebody gets a divorce, and people go, you know, like they're going to die because they got a divorce. Divorce is not good, is it? And I'm not going to ask who's ever been there, but divorce is never good. God divorced Israel because of their unrepentant wickedness. And He married a new bride. The church today, the church is the bride of Christ. You are the church. It is impossible for you to come to church. Why? What if you're outside? Still a church. What if you're on the other side of the city? You're still a church. That's the bride Jesus Christ embraced as a holy nation. Because a people, a nation, is not His chosen nation, does not mean that He doesn't still rule in their affairs. God deals with every nation on this earth, every hour, every moment of every day. God loves Israel, and in this lesson, God loves Midian. He'll use the wicked Midian to judge the wicked Israel. How do you get two nations straightened up when both of them's bad? And then He'll turn around and use wicked Israel to judge the wicked Midian. I want you to watch together what happens when Gideon's view changes things. Gideon is not faithless. He's very faithful. But he's got problems. And aren't you glad none of us have problems? He's handicapped, not physically, but in his faith. You ever get handicapped in your faith? It's like some of us. He was very afraid. It was a dangerous world. So what he did while he was working, he was always hiding while he was working. Not only that, he's hiding within himself. And the man you'll see emerge is a totally different fella from what you see later. What was it that changed Gideon? We find that out. I might have Alan ask me, what was it that changed you? Or I may ask him, what was it that changed you? Every one of us in this room at some point in time have had to change something. And I can tell you from experience and just from biblical integrity that it's going to keep happening to you. Because we live in a wicked world. We're bombarded by stuff on every side of us every day. Judges chapter 6, 1 to 32. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years He gave them into the hands of the Midianites, because the power of Midian was so oppressive that the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in the mountain cliffs and caves and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crop, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land, ruined the crops all the way to Gaza, and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, cattle, or donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. And it was impossible to count the men and their camels, and they invaded the land and ravished it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord to help. Do you know that every time God's people got in trouble, when they got through trying to do our own stupid stuff, you know what we do? Go right straight back to God. And I have a sneaking suspicion that that's going to continue all through history. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, He sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt, from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them before you and gave you the land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not listened to me." The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak of Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now, I want you to stop right there. Where is he hiding? In a wine press. That's down in the ground. Hiding indicates I don't want to be seen. I am not home. Whatever. And God says to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Can God take a wimp and turn him into something bigger? Can he do that? "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord's with us, why has all this happened to us? Where is all the wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hand of Midian." The Lord turned and said, "Go in the strength you have." Notice what he did not say. Go pump iron for a few months. Go beef up. He didn't say that. The boy's a wimp. This is the kind of guy anybody could push around. You got that picture? The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have in Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" And he says, "How can I save Israel? My clan's the weakest in Manasseh. I'm the least of my family." That's I'm a runt. The Lord answered, "I'll be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites together." Listen, Mr. Wimp, you're fixing to tear up a nation. Gideon replied, "If now I found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it's really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering," and set it before you. And the Lord said, "I'll wait for your return." Gideon went and prepared a young goat from an ephah of flour. He made bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot. He brought it to them and offered it to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat, the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, Sovereign Lord, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you're not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord, called it "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. That same night, the Lord said to him, "Take a second bull from your father's herd, one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asheroth pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God at the top of the height using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down. Offer the second bull as a burnt offering." Do you see what he's doing? He's running this boy through the mill. Everything that he thought was right is just backwards with what God's doing right here. Do you think God ever does stuff like this to us so it'll straighten us up, straighten up a nation? So Gideon took 10 of his servants, as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than daytime. In the morning, when the men of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished. The Asherah pole beside it was cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, "Who did this?" When they carefully investigated, they were told, "Gideon, son of Joash, did it." So the men in the town demanded, "Joash, bring out your son. He must die because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole." But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, "Are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal is really God, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar. So that day they called Gideon Jerubbaal, saying, "Let Baal contend with him because he broke down the altar." Now get the rest of the story here, and we'll come back to this section possibly. Gideon, in this test, tests God by doing some different things. Gideon tests God by putting out a fleece, and the contest in 636 was that if the dew wet the fleece and the ground was dry, I'll know you are God. Is that going to be a problem for God? Then Gideon has another test where the dew wet the ground and the fleece was not dry. God says, we got another problem here. You have 32,000 fighting men at your disposal. If you were in a war and you had 32,000 people fighting on your side, would that be good? God speaks to him and tells Gideon, you got too many. You got too many warriors. How can you go to war and have too many warriors? God said, no, you need to get rid of some of these. It's in my mind only that Gideon turned around and whispered, if anybody wants to leave, you can. 22,000 left. God does another little trick for him. He said, son, yeah, I know you got a big enemy against you, but you still have too many warriors. We need to lose some of that. So he ends up with 10,000. Then God had him go to the river and drink. And he told him, whichever one drank this way, keep him. The other one drank this way, don't keep him. When he got through, he had 300. Now he went from 32,000 to 300. Now I watched plenty of Rambo, but even Rambo not that good. Don't you love how God does stuff? There was no doubt that God is the one who fought the battle. Do you know that? Oh, they did win, by the way. But it was no doubt that Gideon wasn't that good, and all those who fought with him wasn't that good. God won that war. Do you know the same God that won that war wins our war, and ourselves, and our lives? You know what changed Gideon? What changed Gideon is the very thing that can change America, Iraq, Iran, Uzbekistan, you just name them. What it was is that Gideon got to see a higher view of God. God is not a wimp. He is a loving God. He loves you. He will do just like a good parent will do and wear your tail out. God is on our side. Israel is in trouble. Here's the problem. This is the same song, second verse of it. When the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, this is what the Lord God of Israel says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt, from the hand of your oppressors. I drove them before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I'm the Lord your God. Do not worship other gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not listened to me. Do we get in trouble because we don't listen to what God has to say? So Gideon meets the Lord here. The angel of the Lord came, sat down under the oak tree in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing grain in the winepress, keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. The first key issue is that Gideon's hiding. If he's hiding, what does that mean? He's fearful. The second thing was that God called him. I've gotten a lot of calls in my life. on cell phones, home phones. I never had God call me the first time that I knew it. That just don't go that way. The Lord's greeting speaks to us. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. I want to read that again. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Notice what he did not say. He didn't say the Lord is with y'all. It's you. One. Gideon immediately turns this communication to a group instead of himself. But sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord's with us, why has all this happened to us? Where is all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian. Let me ask you something. When you get in trouble, let's go back to when you were in school. Any of you remember school? And you got in trouble. What's the first thing you wanted to do about the trouble? Blame it on who? Anybody but yourself, right? Is that true? Well, it's Billy Ray's fault. It's James's fault. Somebody else's fault. Gideon could not fathom that the God of heaven would speak to him. So the Lord says, go in the strength you have. Notice he didn't say, I'm going to strengthen you and make you really strong. He just said, go in the strength you have. Don't matter if you're a wimp. The boy is a wimp. Do you know the boy's a wimp, Gideon was, before God got a hold to him? Go in the strength you have to save Israel. Am I not sending you? Now, Gideon's excuses. But Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. Watch what he just said. We are nobody, and I am a runt. You know what God would have been doing when Gideon said that? You finally got it, son. See, here's the deal with God. When you're in a war, a righteous war, you're the pawn, but God's doing the fighting. And God does the winning. God does not lose fights. This is what Gideon says, do you recall my tribes? I'm saying these things, my tribe's history and military matter. When we begged you to let us settle on the east side of the Jordan, we didn't do well with that one, Lord. Now, here's the biggest argument with Gideon. My clan is the weakest. We are the most inept bunch in our whole tribe. Do you know that a statement like that is euphoric to God? To come from a small family in those times was shameful. Most likely, most of those people in his household were girls. That was worse, because all the families wanted boys. He's the runt of the litter. Now, I'm going to make a long story short. When you embrace God Almighty, God never is surprised at something stupid you're going to do. God don't wake up one day and somebody say something and God says, you mean he did that? God, no. Let me tell you something about God. Do you know and understand that before the foundation of the world, before God says, let there be light, before the foundation of the world was laid, God knew you. Before the foundation of the world was ever laid, God knew everything individually you would do and everybody else that's been on this planet. He doesn't have amnesia. He knows it all. Before the world was made, I knew you. My job is to be a person of faith and understand that it's not my power that gets anything right. It's the power of the Almighty always. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how many computers you can run at one time. I don't care about all that. I have a God who knew you before you ever created. He knew everything about you, everything you would ever do, and yet He still loves you. That's remarkable. You know, we can get around some people and say, boy, I like that old boy, I like that old boy. The more you're around them, it's like, you know what? I ain't liking that old boy much. That's not the way God works. Because I have the problem because I don't have information. I have to assume things. God doesn't have to assume a thing. We serve a God who is on our side. We serve a God who will stick with us, stay with us, thick and thin. He will never quit. I will not quit. I may be beat up. I may be half-minded or whatever may come, but I do know this. The God of this world, the God who owns this world, can defeat the God of this world and has done it and will continue. You are safe in the embrace of the covenant of God, and that is why people need to be baptized into Christ. It's not to get wet, and it's not to join the church. You couldn't join the church if you wanted to. It's not your church. It's His. He birthed it. He gave it life. But you know what? I serve a God who works on my side, and He don't even fuss at me. And I love that. You can't beat what God offers you. Gideon was a wimp. God turned him into a warrior. Gary's a wimp, and God can't turn me into a warrior, or Johnny, or Peggy, or any of you, because it's His power, not ours. The church said, amen.